First scripture reading for today comes from Deuteronomy 31, 9 through 13. That's from the first book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verses 9 through 13. Here we find Moses commanding the people to read the law of the Lord out loud every year, so that all people would remember what God's desires are. This Covenant Renewal Sunday, we are reminded of our responsibilities to follow the law of the Lord. Let's read. Then Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, every seventh year in the scheduled year of remission, during the Festival of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, as well as the aliens residing in your towns, so that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and to observe diligently all the words of this law, and so that their children who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land that you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. Here ends the first reading.
I have noticed that for this new year, I've given you quite a few different challenges. And the first one that I do want to draw to your attention that Gene mentioned quickly is the 90-day challenge. And if you saw the post on the blog that I put yesterday, I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is I'm so excited about how many of you are responding and taking part in this 90-day challenge. Again, just a reminder, there's our website. Click on 90-day challenge. Once you click that, it'll pull up. Go ahead, just scroll up real quickly if you don't mind. You'll see all the different blogs, all the different posts that I've done starting. And each post, like January 2nd was yesterday, so the newest one finds its way to the top. And then if you scroll all the way down, you'll see on each of those places you can identify the comments. See where it says 7 comments? So 7 people comment on that stone manger. You click on that and you can actually see the different comments. We're not going to stay there because those of you who commented, it's public knowledge, just warning. When you make a comment, I get to approve it or not. And so if I approve it, then everyone gets to see it. So just be aware of that. The bad news is when you open up your journal, which I think many of you have, the first day is what? Monday. You were all wondering, wait a second, what's going on? January 1st was not Monday, it is Friday. So guess what we're going to do? Because as we move along in this, it's going to get a little more confusing. We're going to start tomorrow. Okay? That way, you will not be confused. If I get confused easily, and I'm assuming you do as well. So if you've already done 2 or 3 days, praise the Lord. You're wonderful. You're ahead of the curve. Go back and do it again. Because every time you read Scripture, what? Something new comes up, all right? It's not like we're 3 weeks into this. We're just 2 or maybe 3 days into it. So let's go back, and we're going to start tomorrow, okay? So if you look at the blog, you're going to see some of the stuff already repeated. So it's just going to be a couple days, 2 or 3 days, where we have to backtrack. So that's the challenge. It's still there. If you haven't started it, or if you haven't thought that it's something for you, you can start tomorrow and be with the rest of us. So you'll see it as you head your way out of the sanctuary. You'll find that opportunity. Also, back in November on Stewardship Sunday, I gave you the challenge, and I know many of you may have forgotten. It's January, folks. And I mentioned that January, I was hoping would be a month that you would take on the challenge of tithing. Remember, we talked about this is not a fundraiser for the church. It's not for the sake of the church. It's really for our sake as individuals to see what happens when we rely upon God completely and wholly, and then to be able to see his promises carried out and see him follow through and what he tells us, that he will not ever leave us or forsake us. A couple other challenges coming up as well. I think Mayor Terrell Hill coming on January 16th and 17th can be a little bit of a challenge. He's going to be addressing issues that we don't face very often here in this community of Strasbourg. We don't. He's going to be talking, and where he is from, he's really kind of in the epicenter of all those discussions that's happening in our country today about race and violence, and we don't get into that. Okay, in this setting, I don't get into it very much, and I'm assuming maybe you don't either. So we're going to kind of have it brought to us January 16th and 17th. It's going to be a bit challenging, it is, and I recognize that. And then the last one is February 7th, not February 6th, February 7th. I know in the e-news I mentioned February 6th. Steve Clark is going to come back and he's going to preach. He's going to be able to offer communion to us as well. And I know it's been 8 years since Steve and Jenny have been out of the pulpit here at First Presbyterian. And they are the second longest pastoral couple, second longest pastoral stint, what do you call it? Time here at the church than any other besides Reverend Powell. They were the second longest here at First Presbyterian. So I know that there's still some strong feelings, and I really look forward to you all coming out and being a part of that opportunity. I know a lot of you are looking at me like, what's the big deal? But some of you are not looking at me that way. So I encourage you again to face each of these challenges and in such a way where you look forward to seeing how God is going to reveal himself in this coming new year. And I know I'm throwing a lot of challenges at you, but I also want to be reminded that again, there's nothing we can do to make our relationship right with our Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do. He has already done it all. It's just up to us to receive it and to embrace it and to claim it as our own. So let's go ahead and read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And all that we're doing today in our scripture relates to the covenant renewal service, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that as we move along. And these are scriptures that that Wesley, again, chose and he used when he not only put together, but also was a part of this covenant renewal service. Let's go ahead and read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Starting at verse 1, our Savior is speaking and he states, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, to make it bear more fruit. Now you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Now abide in me as I abide in you. And just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus states, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a brief, probably easy little quiz. What is the one word that is used more than any other word in these verses that we just read in John? Did you hear it repeated? Abide, right? 11 times in 7 verses, Jesus uses this word abide, and what's he telling us? He is telling us that we have to live, that we have to dwell with him. And the scene of Jesus speaking here, just so that we can put it within the right context, is he's at the table, he's at the Last Supper, and he's with his disciples. So these are probably some of the last words that Jesus would speak to them. And the Greek word for abide, in English, we would also use the word remain. Remain. So Jesus is telling his disciples on that last night before he's about to be taken away. They probably don't understand what's going to happen, but he knows everything that's going to happen. And so what he wants to leave with them is, remain with me. Remain with me. I may be taken and I may not be in your sight any longer, but don't give up on me, right? Stay with me, abide in me. And it's words that they needed to hear because they would all scatter. And that scattering, we know, probably would make us think that they thought they had been abandoned, that he had left them. But indeed, he has not. When we abide in our Savior, we don't forget what he's able to do with us and what he's able to do for us. When we face all the different challenges that are put before us in this new year, we grow and then we're able to bear more fruit. And this is what Jesus tells his disciples using this imagery of the vine and the branches. We planted a little grape plant. Is that what you call it? It's supposed to be a vine. Ours is so small, it's not even considered a vine. But we planted a grape plant, and the rabbits ate away the leaves. And so I put a little fence around it, and now it was about this tall when we planted it. Now it's about this tall. It doesn't have branches. It didn't bear any fruit. But I'm holding on, and I'm convinced that it's going to last. It's going to last in the new year. But Jesus uses this imagery of the vine and the branches. You've seen those homes, and maybe you have it yourself, of that huge, big, thick vine and the branches that then spread out all the way across. Bearing a fruit at times requires at times that we be pruned, that we be cleansed, and that we realize that we're not able to do anything apart from that vine. Branches are not able to grow fruit without the vine, without that life-giving foundation. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. Abide in me. Don't move away from me. Remain in my presence. And until we're able to see our need to be pruned, our need to face up to those times in our lives when we didn't reflect Christ to those around us as individuals. Or unless we're able to face our past sins, not only as individuals, but maybe even as a church. Those times that we were possibly more concerned about our own well-being and our own interests, as opposed to the interests of God's community and His kingdom, until we face that, then we will constantly not be able to bear the type of fruit that God would want us to bear. And the more pruning that takes place, Jesus says, the better the fruit. The same is true for us as individuals, as well as a church. The more we recognize the sour fruit that maybe we have produced, then the less we will be to make those same mistakes as time goes on. In theory, that's what's supposed to happen, right? We're supposed to learn from our mistakes as individuals. We're supposed to learn from our mistakes also as institutions. Two things I want you all to remember before we move into the covenant renewal service. The two verses that I want you to focus on, at least for this Sunday, is verse 5 and verse 7. Verse 5, we read, Jesus tells his disciples, "Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit." And then this is the part I want you to remember. "Because apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus tells his disciples, you can't do anything. And I would add, you can't do anything good apart from Jesus. Verse 7, the second thing I want you to remember, Jesus states, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Then he states, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And the assumption is that whatever we wish would also be God's desires. And so God's desires, of course, are going to be carried out. Deuteronomy 31, what we read in our first scripture, reminds us that it's not just something that we need to know. This law that we pass on, the truths of Scripture that we pass on, it's not just for us today. But we read in that scripture that it's something we need to pass on to our kids. It's something that we need to pass on to those who come after us, so that we would never forget, and that the generations that then come after us will never forget. And I think this church, and I think the children's sermon, was a great example of that being passed on from generation to generation to generation. We've been able to do that. And I hope that this service is an opportunity for us to do that as well. Let me tell you a little bit about the Covenant Renewal Service. This would be the time for you to take it out. If you don't have this with you, ushers, if you don't mind grabbing a handful of these and just quietly raise your hand, heads down, heads bowed. It's like an altar call, but it's not. Go ahead and if you would just raise your hand so that the ushers could see you and get this to you, that would be great. So this service started in 1775. John Wesley was the one who gets the credit for it, even though he took it from a Puritan who was a Reformed, basically Presbyterian. See, it always comes back to Presbyterians getting credit for everything, right? In 1675, Robert Alleyne, he put this together, and Wesley picked it up. And every New Year's Eve watch night service, Wesley would go ahead and take part in this. He would lead this same exact service. And in his journal, he wrote a number of things. And every year you hear this from me, this leading up to the Covenant Renewal Service, and every year we also go through this. So if it's something you really can't stand and don't like, you know, the first Sunday of every year, we're going to do it. So just be ready and be prepared. But here's what he said in his journal, that during the service, many mourned before God and many were comforted. He stated, it was, as usual, a time of remarkable blessing. And then in his diary, he remarked, it was an occasion for a variety of spiritual experiences. I don't know that ever we had a greater blessing. Afterwards, many desired to return thanks, either for a full sense of pardon, for full salvation, or for a fresh manifestation of His graces, healing all their backsliding. It can be a powerful service if we allow it to be, if we recognize the words that are in there, and that they are able to truly transform our lives. If you go ahead and open up your booklet, you will find on page 3, where it states the covenant prayer, I'm going to invite you to stand at that point. And it's at that point where you also need to feel free to let the Holy Spirit move you. If at that moment you feel led to kneel, if you feel led to bow your head, if you feel led to raise your hands, any way in which the Holy Spirit may move you at that time, allow the Spirit to take hold of you. You will notice then at the end, at the very last page, on page 5, there's a place where you can sign and date it. Don't do that here in this context. I would encourage you, if it's something that has moved you, then to take this home, read it again, and again, if it's something that you feel convicted, that you do want to renew your covenant before the Lord, then go ahead and sign it and put the date and put it somewhere visible. Don't put it in a drawer that where you'll never see it again. Put it maybe on the refrigerator or somewhere that you can be reminded that you have made this covenant again with the Lord. And again, this year we also have an opportunity during communion that as you make your way forward, we will be taking communion by intinction. As you make your way forward, you'll see our baptismal font is right there in the front. There are blue beads within the font. There is water in the font. I did that on purpose so that you will get your hands wet when you grab a bead. So that, again, that visual, that tactile reminder of our covenant that we made with the Lord, of our own baptism in the sight of God Almighty. So let us now renew our promises before Almighty God. You'll see I will be reading the light print. You will be reading the bold. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. Through baptism, we have entered this life, and we have been admitted into the new covenant of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with his own blood that it might last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ, the source and perfecter of our faith. But then on the other side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, he who loved us and gave himself for us. From time to time, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant and gather at the Lord's table. Today, we meet as the generations before us have met. To renew the covenant that binds us to God, let us make this covenant of God our own. And so commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and even disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us therefore go to Christ and pray. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give myself to your will in all things. Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and your work. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. And Christ will have no servants except by consent. And Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Confirm this today by a holy covenant. And to make this covenant a reality in your life, listen to these admonitions. First, set apart some time more than once to be spent alone before the Lord in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, in searching your hearts whether you have already freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you're clear in these matters and see that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving and grace and strength so you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. Fourth, resolved to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts. You have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Fall down on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven, open your heart to the Lord as we pray. Will you please stand? Let us pray together. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will. For you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. God requires that you shall put away all your idols. I hear from the bottom of my heart, renounce them all, covenanting with you that no sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own unrighteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again if you would only let him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means to coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knees accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. O blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked. Unworthy even to wash the feet of your servant. I do here with all my power accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Christ has told you that you must suffer with him. I do here covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. God has given holy laws as a rule of your life. I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as a rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. The Almighty God searches and knows your heart. O God, you know that I make this covenant with you today without guile or reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me to set it right. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in my own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God, the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. O mighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend. And I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it, and let the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. And now, loving Lord, as we have come before you and renewed our covenant this new year, so I ask that you would send each one of us a sign of your presence, a sign that is tangible, visible, identifiable, that as we make our way through our journey, as individuals and also as a community, you will remind us of how important it is to abide in you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.